Few weeks ago, I don't know, 2-3 weeks back, when I spoke on Back to Basics. So as you can say, review Back to Basics to start with, just so we understood where I was then. I was wanting us to be very, very certain. Here comes Jacob. Very certain about where we are with the Lord Jesus, who the Lord Jesus is for us, that he is the only way of salvation. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through Jesus. And Jesus said, if we really knew him, we would know the Father as well. Here we go, there we go. I'll be able to see what's on the wall if I turn that around as well. There we go. And from now on, you know him and have seen him. And the journey that we're on, David spoke the week before about being on a journey. David spoke last week about worshipping and singing, if you remember. We'll come back to that shortly. And the journey that we're on is meant to be a deep relationship with the Father through Jesus. And I just think that is such a privileged position that we can come to call the Almighty God, the creator of all things, our Father. And there is only one way we can come to that, and that is through Jesus. And if we think there's another way, there isn't. We think there's another way, we're wrong. There is only one way, and that is Jesus. And the truth, Jesus says, the next slide please, Jacob, the truth. Here it comes. In John 8:32, then you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. And if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Are you free?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Good. I'm glad to think some people think they are. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
If we believe the word of God, it's true. We're free. We're free. Because truth isn't about knowledge. Truth isn't about gaining. It's what I said last time. It isn't about actually gaining knowledge, learning an encyclopedia or Matthew Henry's Bible commentary or eating Young's Concordance or whatever else might help us study the Word of God. It's about knowing Jesus because he is the truth. And when he returns, he will separate the sheep from the goats. And he will say to those who he separates out, I never knew you. It's about knowing him. And he says, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. And the goats go, but. Oh, ho, sorry, borrowed that one. Okay, next slide, please. We were lied to. We were lied to and imprisoned. Jesus here was speaking to the Pharisees saying, you know, they once knew something else, but now they'd listened to the enemy and they were lied to. He says, you belong to your father, the devil. And you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. Hang on to those words. There is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language because he is a liar and the father of lies. Yet because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Speaking to the Pharisees. Do you believe what God says about you or do you listen to the devil? Last time I quoted a little few phrases from Pastor Yun when he says so many people in churches today still listen to the lies of the devil. Are you listening to him whispering in your ear? Do you find yourself agreeing with what he says? Sounds ridiculous, and it is. But we do, yes. Sometimes we do. I can embarrass Stacey. Stacey this week is an example of what shall I listen to? Shall I listen to the Lord, who's given him vision for the future and told him what he'll be doing in the future? Or shall I listen to what the enemy wants to sneak in and say, whoa, could rock your boat, could try and do something for you. But Stacey stood up here this morning and said, no, God's got a future for me, so I'm believing that. And we give thanks. And I praise God, thank you, Lord, for Stacey and for what the Lord is speaking through Stacey this morning. And actually that he was speaking out faith, Lord, I thank you because you've got something in my future. That's saying what God says. That's believing what God says, not believing what the enemy wants to throw at us. So let's have a little checkup. Next slide, please. It should animate mostly itself. Slide, he's correcting me again, isn't he? Okay. Who do you believe? It's good to have somebody here who keeps me on my toes. He's reading my sermon ahead of me. It's all right. I appreciate it. Who do you believe? Let's be honest about this. Because Jesus said, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. So are you living in obedience to the truth he has shown you? Are you living free? David used this verse last week. Do not be conformed, at least Romans 12:1. Do not be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing and perfect will. Do we believe that God's will for us is good and it is pleasing? Do we believe when he says something to us, it is for our good? So why don't we do it? Don't know. Don't know. We shrug and say, don't know. Romans 12:1, it isn't in there, but it's, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. David was encouraging us last week to come singing, to come worship. But David was saying our worship isn't just singing, our worship is our lives, a life of obedience. And our life becomes a song, in a sense. But it's done by the transforming of our minds, the renewing of our minds, that we begin to agree with what God says about us and not what we have learned about ourselves from the world and the devil. Now we'll have the checkup. Okay. So, how do you feel? How do you face your life? Are you anxious? Are you fearful? Do you lack confidence? Do you lack purpose? Do you behave badly sometimes? Never, surely nobody in this room would behave badly sometimes. Do you suffer from apathy? Are you comfy? Are you doubting? Do you have a poor prayer life? Maybe. Maybe sometimes some of that. Click on that slide one more time and it'll come up with the other side, please, Jacob. Here it comes. Are you secure? Are you confident? Are you active? Are you at peace? Do you welcome a challenge? Are you purposeful? Are you hopeful? Are you full of faith? Bit different, aren't they? I'd have to be honest and say, sometimes I'm okay there. Sometimes it's a bit like that. Sometimes I think I'm balancing between the two, and it depends what's going on around me and what pushes me and knocks me around. And I shouldn't be like that, because Jesus is what? A rock. A firm foundation, we just sang. The firm foundation on which we stand. If I believe that, if I declare it, if I keep making that my declaration, then that's what is true. And that truth will set me free and I will not be anxious. Jesus says, be anxious for nothing. He says, why do you worry about what you're going to eat? What are you going to put on? What do you worry about all this stuff for? Paul writes, don't be anxious for anything. You know, can I be fearful? Can I lack confidence? Yeah. Am I comfy? Oh, yeah. Sometimes we think that stepping out is difficult. Sometimes we think that when God challenges us, it's going to be tough. He never said life was going to be easy, but I think life's harder on that side than it is on his side. It's the devil and our practiced life that makes us think it's going to be difficult if we actually step out into what God wants for us. He says, I come to set you free. I come to give you what? A life of misery? No, he said, I come to give you a life that's abundant. A life free and abundant is what he promises. Do we believe him? We want to. Next slide, please. Philippians, just to help us out. Don't be anxious about anything. But in prayer, in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Because where are we seated when we are saved? We are in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. So he will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So we live our lives in Christ Jesus, not in the world. So why is it hard? Why is it hard? Be anxious. Don't be anxious about anything. Gee, I wish that I could honestly say that every single day of my life, that was true. But this numpty up here sometimes starts worrying about stuff. Stuff gets in the way. And it doesn't matter how much I tell myself that God is good and all this stuff, somewhere deep from within my gut comes this anxiety that comes plumbing up and eating away at me. I was having a nice snooze away from work last Monday night, about 7 o'clock, got from work, and I was just beginning to nod off nicely, and the phone rings, and it was the office. And there's a report, and it was into committee, and somebody was questioning something I'd written in the report, and they didn't understand it. How did I feel right then at that moment? Oh, dear, oh, dear. And I thought, here, I was going to go and lose a night's sleep over this now, worrying about how it was going to be till I got to work the next day to face the music. And I said, Lord, I don't accept that. I'm not going to have a sleepless night. I choose to worship you. I choose to set my mind off. And I did sleep. Praise God. Still felt a bit churned up. When I got into work next day, I knew I needed to just sort out one things. When it finally went through to cabinet on Wednesday night, to the power meeting where they make the decisions, I saw the boss the next day. He said, how did it go? He said, oh, it was a really short meeting. Nobody took any notice, and it went straight through without a blink. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So those of you living council houses will start getting some lower rent now. That was what the report was about. So there you go. And get your rent reduced slightly. Okay. So when things come at you, do I do it my way? I did it my way. Right? The well-practiced way that I have learned. Do I do it the way of the world and actually look for them for some help or understanding? Is that where I fly? Or do I fly to the Father? I praise God that on Monday night I perhaps had begun to learn the lesson. Although my guts and my head were going all over the place, when I put my head down on my pillow to sleep, I didn't let it stay there, but I went to the Father. Praise God. He's helping me learn to walk differently. I'm not always like that, but he's helping me learn to walk differently. So we need to listen to him. Next slide, please, Jacob. Listen to him. Quoted this verse last time as well. Because I know whom I have believed and am convinced. I am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him for that day. Well, that's a strong confession, isn't it? That is a really strong confession. I know who I have believed. I am convinced that he is able to guard what I've entrusted him. What have I entrusted to him? To what day? I've entrusted to him my soul, my life, my everything. To what day? To the day of judgment. The day when he returns again and says, come up, good and faithful servant. Or when he calls me home. Whatever way around it is. Whether he comes first or whether he calls me home. That I can believe in him for that day. I'm really sad at the moment, really, really distressed because a friend of mine who was a colleague at work and moved away, and I think I told you this before, some of you know, her husband died very suddenly, he was only 42, and I've been in contact with her, and as far as I know, he didn't know the Lord. She doesn't know the Lord. What hope is there? And she sent me an email yesterday, and just the anger she was pouring out. Why is he left? Why is he gone? Why am I left alone? I don't want to be strong. I don't want to have to face life. Where is her hope? It needs to be in Jesus. And I'm praying that the Lord will give us opportunity. We hope we could be able to go to the funeral and be with her at the funeral, because there'll be nobody else there except her and the children. And we'll go and take the love of God into that situation. And I don't have clever words. I don't think I'll open a Bible and say, do you know what it says about you in the Bible or anything like that? I'll probably just hug her and cry. Because that's all I know how to do probably there. Because I have hope, though. And my hope and my prayer is that she will learn that hope and know that love. And in Romans, I am convinced that neither death, there we go, nor life, nor the angels, nor demons, hallelujah, they're under his feet, nor the present, nor the future, nor any powers, neither height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation, we're able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What a fantastic verse. You need to memorize that. You need to write it on cards and stick it on your fridge if you haven't memorized it. You need to do something that every time you wake up and look in the mirror and say, hallelujah, I'm beautiful. And you look at that and say, and I am convinced. And if you don't look in the mirror and say, I am beautiful, then don't dishonor God. Look in the mirror and say, I am beautiful. I am pleasing to God because he loves me. Who I am, he loves me. You tell yourself you're beautiful because God says you're beautiful. He's pleased with you. It's true. It's true. See, we laugh about those things, but it's true. With the apple of his eye. We need to let that kind of truth change our minds. We need to be fully convinced of his grace and his mercy toward us. The enemy wants to persuade you otherwise. He doesn't want you to be listening to God. He wants to persuade you that something else is a better way. Persuade you that you didn't hear it quite right. Hearing from God, who are you? What do you think you are? How do you know you heard that from God? How do you know that was a word of God? Oh, come on, be realistic. Do you think he cares about you? Yes, I do. So shut up. Get him off your shoulder. Be sure who you're listening to. So I want to look at some things that I hope will help us to put us in a place so we can be certain who we're listening to. Which should be the next slide, please, Jacob. Be certain who you're listening to is what I want. Thank you. So I want to look at a little bit. I've been reading in Exodus how they put the tabernacle together and how the children of Israel were coming through the wilderness and they put this tabernacle together where the presence of God came. And they went to hear from God's presence, or Moses did. So prepare yourself to be in his presence. I got lots of P's here. When I was at Bible college, a good sermon supposed to have 3 points. They all began with P, so you can have alliteration. No, they didn't all begin with P. But it always seems to work that way for me. I think I've got about 5 P's by the time we get to the end. See if you can spot them. Prepare yourself to be in his presence. So here in Exodus, Aaron and his sons, this is the Lord's instruction to them, are to wash their hands and feet with water, with the water from it, whenever they enter, this is about the laver that was in the front of the tent. Whenever they enter the tent of meeting, they shall wash with water so that they will not die. So they've got to be clean to come into the presence of God, because if they didn't come in clean, they would die. Ooh. They tied bells around their ankle, if you remember, so they could still hear if they were still moving inside. And if they weren't, they dragged them out on a rope. Oh, goes Jacob. Gruesome, yes. Because going into the presence of God is an awesome thing. And they knew they couldn't just go into the presence of God. They had to prepare to go into the presence of God. But we don't rely on being washed in water. Because we're washed by what? The blood. The blood of Jesus. That sounds really strange, doesn't it? But it's true. And if we come in preparation, as we come to God, every time we come to God, we come with a heart, with a repentant attitude, ready to deal with the sin that he convicts us of. Not what the enemy is chipping over your shoulder and saying, you're rubbish. But if the Holy Spirit comes to you and says, that was really hurtful. Those words you spoke, whatever it was, put it right. Bring it now. Bring it now under the blood. Bring it now before the throne. And he is faithful and just to what? Forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He casts our sins into the sea of his forgetfulness. Hallelujah. So we can come clean. But we need to prepare ourselves to become clean. Don't be presumptuous and just presume you can go crashing into the Father's room. Daddy, 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 I need this. Be ready, be prepared. Be ready for what he wants to do. Let's just have a look at the next slide that's got a scripture from Exodus on it. This is awesome. This is awesome. This is a tent in the desert. This is before Jesus came and offered himself as a sacrifice. This is before the Holy Spirit was given to us. Here we gather in the name of God with Jesus and the Holy Spirit resident in our lives. With access to the throne room of God because of his blood, because of his sacrifice. Here is Moses in the desert with the sacrifice of animals, and this is what happens. Moses used to take a tent and pitch it outside the camp some distance away. So it wasn't in the middle of the camp. a little bit separate. Holy is the Lord, separate, okay? They called it a tent of meeting. Why? Because they had their community meals there? No. Anyone inquiring of the Lord would go to the tent of meeting outside the camp. So if you wanted to know something, you wanted guidance and help from the Lord, you went to the place that was the tent of meeting. And whenever Moses went out to the tent, all the people rose and stood at the entrance of their tent and they watched him go. Watching Moses until he entered the tent. They wanted to be sure he was in there. And as Moses went into the tent, now wait for this one, a pillar of cloud would come down and stay at the entrance of the tent while the Lord spoke with Moses. Oh, I just long for that moment where a pillar of cloud or a pillar of fire falls on this place and all the people in the neighborhoods looking from their doors look at this place and see us enter and the power of God falls in this place and they say, we should go there and inquire of God. Now, if we're filled with the Holy Spirit and Jesus is in us, what are we believing for? I'm longing for, I don't know whether it'll look physically like that, but you know what I mean. That we want the glory of God to be upon us and upon this place, that the people out there looking from their doors will be looking this way and saying, let's go. Let's go. Let's hear what God would say to us. Wow. Wow. And whenever the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance of the tent, they all stood and worshipped. David was talking about worship last week, remember? Each at the entrance to his tent. The Lord, I love this, the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks with his friend. That's incredible. This is incredible. He wants to be, Jesus says, I don't call you servants anymore, I call you friends. Can you be a friend of God? He wants you as a friend. He wants to talk about issues with you. He wants to chat with you about the things that are hurting his heart, the things that are in this world that are breaking his heart. And he wants intercessors to raise up. And he says, come and be my friend and listen to these things. Let's talk about them. Let me show you what my heart is. Let me show you what I have for your life. It's interesting. I think I knew it, but again, it realized Moses returned, but his young assistant, Joshua, the son of Nun, didn't leave the tent. Wow. And it tells us a bit later, you know, that when Moses had been in the presence of God, he was so glowy, you know, that it was hard to look at him. And Joshua stayed there. A bit better than an energy saver light bulb, I'm sure. This is just incredible, though. This is a tent in the desert where animals were sacrificed so they could come into the presence of God. God so committed to his people that he would reveal himself and show his heart. We are his sons. We are joint heirs in Christ. We are given the kingdom. Hallelujah. We are given life abundant. We need to be taking the kingdom of God and bringing God's presence in. We need to be praying, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Let it fall on this place. Whew. Well, next slide. There is a price. There's another P. So be prepared. There's a price. Again, looking just at what they did. It says, everyone who was willing and whose heart was moved. That was quite interesting. Again, I didn't really notice those words when I, you know, until this time around. Came and brought an offering to the Lord for the work of the tent of meeting, for all its services and sacred garments. Because, you know, it was pretty elaborate. The whole place of the tabernacle was elaborate and all the robes the priests wore were very elaborate. All who were willing, men and women alike, came and brought gold jewelry of all kinds, brooches and earrings, rings and ornaments, and they all presented their gold as a wave offering to the Lord. Do you come with your offering with joy? Hallelujah. Come waving it. Can't wait to just give this to the Lord. I want a wave offering to the Lord. They used to do that with the meat as well. That wouldn't have suited me. And it said, all the Israelite men and women who were willing brought to the Lord free will offerings for all the work. Right? Are you willing? Do you know, I looked up, because it's, you know, it says in the Bible, reads these things down, it says that the offering of just the gold, not the silver and the jewels, everything, just the gold, was 29 talents and 730 shekels. Oh, thanks. That is, one talent is 75 pounds in weight, or 34 kilos. At today's gold prices, that's about 20 million. So they came waving an offering worth about 20 million quid, just for the gold implements and stuff that was in the tabernacle. That was about 20 million. And then there was the silver and all the silks and all the other things. But today's gold price is about 20 million. Because gold's going up and down a bit, so you know. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? Do you know, though, where did that gold come from? Do we know where that gold came from? Do we remember the story where the gold came from? Egypt, thank you. God provided the gold in the first place. As they fled with just their sandals, they said, we've got to leave in a hurry. We haven't got time to let the bread rise. So get your sandals on, get the bread flat and unleavened, and run, because we're going in a hurry. But the Egyptians will chuck stuff at you like mad, because they'll be glad to see you go. And the Egyptians just loaded them with gold and jewels and all kinds of stuff. And the people must have gone, whoa, we're its lottery. We've won the lottery. And we're away. And now here we are in the desert. And they said, if you're willing, give it to the Lord. He provided the offering. God provides the offering. There is a price to pay. But God provides the offering. It is a costly thing to come into the presence of God. That's what he was trying to teach Israel. It is a costly thing to come into the presence of God, but for us, the price is paid, because the price was Jesus. A price beyond measure, a price we cannot even understand or consider, way more than 20 million pounds in gold weight. We cannot comprehend that price, but it's paid. So there is a price, and we must not come presumptuous. We don't come in our own strength. We don't come with our own ideas. We come because of that price, because of Jesus. We come through him, in his name, humble. Do you know why Moses could speak to God face to face? Do you know what it says about Moses in the Bible? He was the meekest man in all the earth. He was the most humble man. How did he get to be humble? He went to an 80-year Bible school. Took a while, which brings us nicely to the next slide. There's no P in this one, I don't think. Oh, yes, there is. Wait for him. Be patient. So Moses was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights without eating bread or drinking water. Don't forget, he'd had 40 years in the wilderness as well before this, and another 40 years, just 40 years and 40 and 40. And he wrote on the tablets the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments, and when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the testimony in his hands, he was not aware that his face was radiant because he'd spoken with the Lord. There's that verse I was talking about. And over in Numbers, don't need to worry about this one, Moses therefore said to them, wait, and I will listen to what the Lord will command concerning you. Then the Lord spoke to Moses. There is this sense of actually waiting. And we know the two incidences when Moses went up to Mount Sinai, that once he went up and all the people said, what's happened to him? Is he gone? What's happened? Is he still alive? Oh, blow it. Tell you what, can't wait anymore. Tell you what, we'll have a party. Aaron, make a god for us out of, oh, gold. Do we just give up waiting? Are we prepared to be patient for what God wants to do with us? You know, we think a year's a long time. You know, when the Lord speaks to us, I want this to happen in your life. And we go, good. So is the end of this week or the end of next week, Lord? Or tomorrow? And he says, oh, in 40 years. We went, 40 years? 40 years? Are you mad? 40 years? It's half a lifetime. I can't think of 40 years. I can now. But when we're young, old people are over 40, for goodness sake. You know, when we're young, I'm sure Jacob thinks that. So 40 years, Moses was 40 years waiting for the call of God. 40 years fulfilling the call of God. Incredible. And yet there are people out around us who are going to hell without the Lord because they're not hearing the gospel. So there is an urgency. But at the same time there's an urgency, it's no good us thinking, I'll go and do it my way then. Lord, if you ain't going to turn up for 40 years, I think I'll go out and do something meanwhile. What happens when we go out and do something meanwhile? We mess up. And Moses found that out the hard way, as many of the Israelites did too. In fact, they didn't enter the promised land because they tried to do things their way and they moaned. Let's have a look at some Psalms then about waiting on the Lord. Help us to settle our patience. Get away from the we want it now attitude. These are only a few. A few. Indeed, none of those who wait for you will be ashamed. I think David had got a hang of this. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the Lord, the God of my salvation. For you I wait all day long, or all the day. Psalm 27, wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. So he says it twice there. Psalm 62, my soul, wait in silence for God only. My hope is from him. Psalm 119, my soul languishes for your salvation. I wait for your word. Oh, there's one. You felt like that. Lord, I need to hear what you're saying. Please turn up and explain to me what is going on in my life. I am in turmoil here. My emotions are all over the place. I'm desperate. Lord, please give me your word. That's David in that verse. I will wait for your word. In Psalm 147, the Lord favours those who fear him, those who wait for his loving kindness. Do you want the favour of God on your life? Because it should be, and he wants to give it to you. He says, well, okay, if you're prepared to let me do it for you, if you're prepared to wait for me, I will do it for you. If you wait for me, I'll do it for you. If you wait for me, I'll show you, I'll reveal my glory, I'll show you how brilliant this can be if you let me do it for you. Isn't that fantastic? Actually, he wants to actually deliver it. We're so busy thinking we should grab it, and he wants to deliver it. He will give you his favour if you fear him and wait. Trust in his loving kindness, because it never fails. Okay, we need to move on quickly. A choice. This is quite a surprising one. Just two contrasts here of two scriptures. In Psalm 106, it's talking about the children of Israel. They believed his promise and sang his praise, it says. Hallelujah. The horse and rider are thrown into the sea. They sang as they came out through the Red Sea. I don't know if they used that tune, but, you know, that's the song they sung. But they soon, this is David writing, they soon forgot what he had done and didn't wait for his counsel. And in the desert, they gave in to their craving. In the wasteland, they put God to the test. Sometimes I think I can see myself kind of not perhaps as raw and as stuff as it felt when we read their story. It was them. How did they do this? Can't understand how they did that. It's ridiculous. Nobody would do that, surely. Nobody would behave like that, would they? The stories are there for a reason. Because they do. We do behave like that. So there are people who believed and sang his praises. But because they didn't wait, they turned to their own strength and looked to their own means. In Isaiah, now we start with the weary and the tired in Isaiah. Are you weary? Are you tired? Excuse me. Are you tired? Are you stumbling and falling? Those who wait for the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles, or wings and wings like weagles and stuff. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Gee, I feel like that sometimes. Not like that, though. I will walk and faint. Not, no, walk and not faint. Run and not grow weary. Walk and not faint. Soar like eagles. If you wait. The sense is he wants to do it for you, you see. He wants to show you his word, and by you speaking his word, by you agreeing with his word, by you coming into line with his word, he will do it. How was the earth created? He spoke and it came into being. The word of God is powerful. And when he speaks it into us, if we speak it out over our lives, if we agree with it, it is powerful, it is creative. The whole of the universe is held together by the word of his power. We exist because his word sustains us. The word is incredibly powerful. No wonder Satan doesn't want us to listen to it and believe it. No wonder he says, don't wait, do it this way. Go on, it won't matter. You can get this quicker if you do it like this. Get what quicker? Death. A lie. Remember, he was a murderer and a liar from the very beginning. That's what Satan wants to give you. Death and lies. Lies that will snare you and keep you. So let's not be those who start with the song of praise and then go, oh, well, tomorrow I've got to do this, so I'll just do that then. Let's be those who wait for the Lord. Right, next slide, please. This is one I popped in this morning after waking up at 4 o'clock. Walking in the flesh or in the spirit, two more P's. Practice his presence. Practice his presence. Another verse David quoted last week. God is a spirit and his worshippers must worship him in spirit and in truth. Romans 8. For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the spirit, the things of the spirit. For the mind set on the flesh is death. He's a murderer. He's a liar. It's death. But the mindset on the spirit is life and peace and life abundant and freedom because the truth sets you free. Are we mad? Are we stupid? Are we really crazy? That we would listen to a murderer and a liar as opposed to someone who would give us life and freedom? It's a no-brainer. So why are we so stupid? Because we're sheep. Sheep are stupid. Sheep do stupid things. But he is the shepherd of the sheep. And the word says, thank you, he's a good shepherd. And the word says, my sheep hear my voice and they know my voice and they follow me. So we can be stupid, but if we listen and follow, we'll be in the right place. There's some sheep that Jesus goes to the sheepfold and he grabs them and he says, you're going this way. Because we're a bit stubborn. But. The goats. Heard a preacher this morning actually say, you've got to get your butt out the way. It was an American preacher, so, you know, would be. Galatians. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have, what? Crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So if we live by the Spirit, let us walk by the Spirit. Now, when I was doing the Back to Basics a couple of weeks ago, I was trying to get across into our poor little brains, we are dead, 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 dead. Not just stupid, but dead. Dead stupid. If you're dead, you can't do much. So if we are crucified, but made alive together in Christ, thank you, we'll get this, we'll get it one day, we'll get this in Christ, it'll be in our heads one day, in Christ, we live in Christ, so let's walk by the Spirit. Now, the one thing that really strikes me, you know, is when we're born into this world, we got a gorgeous little grandson, and he was speaking in tongues last week to me. It was fantastic. He's a bit like Joseph, because I went up to him, and he's only 2.5 months old, and you tickled him on the cheek, and he grinned. He's going, ooh, yeah, yeah. And he had a long conversation with me. He's saying, Grandad, I love you. You're fantastic. I just want to believe all the promises of God you have for me. And he was saying all those things to me. See? See, I know my grandson loved me, see? Yeah, see? Thank you, Joseph. You see, when we're small like this, we have to learn, don't we, to speak. We have to learn to communicate. We have to learn to listen. We have to learn how to respond. And it took us what? I don't think he's quite there yet, and he's a few months older than Evan is, you know, and he's not quite there yet, so I don't know. And he's very bright, so maybe, you know, maybe he'll know the Encyclopedia Britannica by the time he's 5. Could be. But it doesn't matter how bright we are, we've got to learn. And over many years now, until we get to whenever we get to, where the Lord meets us, we've learned a lot of stuff about how to get on, how to talk, how to behave, how to walk and talk. And we've done it all ourselves, all by our little own self. Aren't we clever? Have you seen this young man? He stands up on his own. It was brilliant in the first week, a couple of weeks ago. And he's nothing to hold on to. And up he got, and he was just standing there. It's fantastic. All on his own, see? No hands holding out, nothing. What a grin on his face. It was fantastic. It's just, and we're like that. We're like that. Oh, I've done it on my own. And because we've learned it that way, guess what? We're comfortable with it that way. And then Jesus comes along and says, do you know what? If you want to be in the kingdom of God, you've got to be born again. Oh, so I've got to learn some stuff from infancy all over again. Yep. This is what I mean by practicing the presence of God. You don't just arrive one day, poof, Holy Spirit, I am just a mighty warrior for God now, hallelujah. We might think it's like that. But the reality is that our life, we're on learning all the stuff that we learned that way, and now we're learning to walk in a different way. And that takes time, doesn't it? So no wonder we find ourselves falling back sometimes into how we'd learned it before. Do you know what Jesus said? The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. But my grace is sufficient for you. Hallelujah. See, we're getting there. We're understanding now what God wants for our lives. So we're going to bring this to a close. We need to learn that we're no longer receiving input through our emotions and our senses, but we need to get used to receiving input through our spirit, listening to God through our spirit. And you know, he's so gentle. He doesn't come in like a big brazen shouting voice. He doesn't steamroller our will. He comes in and he speaks gently to us. But if you ask him, he will speak to you. He wants to be your friend and he will speak. So if you're having a problem saying, can I hear the voice of God? Go through some of these things. Make sure you come clean in the blood of Jesus. Make sure you know who you are when you come. Let's just sum up then on the, just a couple more slides now. So do you listen to what he says? Will you wait for his word? Will you believe what he says, and particularly what he says about you? And then will you be obedient to what he says? Oh, I knew there was a hard one at the end. This verse in Samuel is when Saul mucked up a bit. And the verse goes on a bit before us, but it says, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. Saul was thought he could impress the Lord with a big sacrifice. You know, and sometimes we think we can impress God with a big sacrifice. And actually he just says, I just wanted you to do this. I just wanted you to do this. Please will you just do this? It's really simple. Sometimes we think perhaps what he's asked to do isn't big enough. Perhaps we want it to be complicated, to feel good about it ourselves. Perhaps we make it hard. And he said, I just want you to do this. Will we listen? Put ourselves in the place where we'll hear. Will we wait for his word? Will we believe what he says and confess it out? Will we be obedient? Because that's what pleases him. He doesn't want sacrifices, he wants obedience. And David said that in his message about worship. It's that obedience that is an act of worship to him. Okay, with that, we close. Let's just take the letter, one more slide. Yeah, thank you. Different benediction. I like finding benedictions out of Scripture. You all know this one. But did you know it came from Numbers? There you go. I like the papal hand at the top. It's quite good, that one. Let's just pray for a minute and then we'll just bless each other. Hallelujah. Lord, I just thank you that you do want to speak to us, that you've called us by name. You've called us your children. You've made us joint heirs with Christ. And you want us, for us, a life with your favor, a life of abundance, a life of peace, a life of freedom. And we confess that to be true. You are our healer, our redeemer, our rock, our fortress, our salvation, our righteousness. You are all those to us. Help us, Lord, to believe it and confess it from this day. Thank you, Lord. Amen. And if you want to bless each other, use these words. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Amen. Amen.